Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Days in my life. We're back with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the blue blog did still pop up over there tomorrow, or this morning, excuse me, so get yourself over there, check it out, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at... Oh, did you say anything? Because you didn't come through.
Dan Z Man with three.
a lot went on since the last time that we actually got to do this together. But why don't we start off with your movie review and knock that out? Now they picked Miracle for you to watch this time. I hope you liked it better than Cool Running. So what did you think of this movie?
I mean, to be honest, at first I was, I don't know if you say like the first 15 minutes or so, I was like, oh God, this is going to be boring. Cause I think it opened up, I don't remember how it opened up, but it was kind of, it was very slow. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if it's only slow for the first 15 minutes, it's not a bad deal. So, you know, what I did like about this one is it wasn't over-the-top pushy. You know, Kurt Russell is great for this kind of role because he's, I don't even know what the word is for it, but he's just straight to the point. You know, I think my absolute favorite part is when they're all sitting around, and I think they're at someone's house, and he's about to give a speech, or they're all kind of looking for him, maybe say something before their big game with Russia, and he just says, you know, I've never been great at giving these, or I've never, you know, give these speeches, so good night. And then he walks away and leaves the guys to party, so... I mean, you know, all in all, I think they tried to build up the whole Cold War stuff a little too much into it, and I think that's where it kind of, I think that's why I started off thinking this movie is going to be kind of boring, because it immediately starts off with, you know, a lot of the old footage of, you know, Cold War stuff, so that was kind of drawing me out, you know. So had I picked it up just to watch it, I don't think I would have watched it had you guys not picked it for me, because of the opening. So I get it, they were trying to express, like, I guess the importance of the political state at that time, because if, you know, whatever was going to happen, Russia was going to pull their team, so the Americans wouldn't be able to play against the best team in the world, which were the Russians. And I think that's what I liked about Kurt Russell's character, the coach, was I don't think he honestly cared about political affiliation so much as he cared more for the game of hockey and getting the American team to not just play against you know, not just be handed a win, but to actually win against the best team in the world. And, you know, I liked when he brought in a, kind of a bigger name just to ruffle some feathers. And I think we've all seen that in certain things. So, you know, definitely one of those movies that, you know, I think it's patriotic, so to speak, but just really shows, like, the brotherhood of a sport like that when, I mean, let's be honest, the only way to really win is to be a complete team. You can't have one star, and I think that's what we talk about on this podcast. The way the NBA, you know, only markets LeBron James, the way MLB only markets, you know, Harper and Trout. I don't know. You know, I don't know who the NFL only markets Tom Brady. I don't know, but kind of I like the whole story. And I mean, they didn't give you a lot of crap, so they just went into the movie. And once you got through that first 15 minutes of kind of staleness, it took off. So, and, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have the downside story of, you know, he put so much into it that, you know, he ended up ruining his marriage and getting divorced, leaving the kids, you know, kind of going that route. So I think at the end of the day, this was kind of a feel-good story all the way around. But like you said, the big game was in the movie. The main event was against Russia, but then they bring up the fact that they still had to go on and play Sweden to win. But, they, you know, I think that's where maybe I felt like the political ties were just a little bit, they didn't need it, you know. I don't think they needed it at all. I don't know if you've got the IMVD out, kind of give a synopsis, maybe do a little bit more justice to my review.
No, I actually thought you did a pretty good job. I've seen the movie one time. And, you know, that was it. So I didn't remember too much about it. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, all the taglines are, well, you know, it's the inspiring story of the, you know, the you know, the U.S. hockey team. So, you know,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, I thought you, I thought you did a nice job of covering it. It was a box office winner. It made about, it made $64.5 million at the box office on a $28 million budget. And, you know, with the exception of Kurt Russell, not a lot of, you know, big names. I know there's people out there who will know Patricia Clarkson, who played his wife. But other than that, you know, it's, basically, you know, they got a lot of guys who could skate and a lot of guys who were formerly on the team to be in the movie. So, or maybe not their team, but not an Olympic team. So.
Wow, I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah, just kind of looking at it. But, I, from what I remember, I mean, you got to remember this is a 2004 movie. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't one of those things that would bring me back to watch it again. So I guess that would be my really only question for you. Would you watch this again if you came across it on Hulu or Disney or whatever the heck platform it's on out there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's on demand on Disney, so I might not just throw it on, but if it were on TV, and you know how sometimes family events go, and sometimes you just tune in the TV, I would definitely check it out again. You know, as aspiring or inspiring as it was, you know, maybe I don't dive too deep into that, but for me, normally I don't really watch, I guess you would call this more of a drama-style movie. I'm usually ridiculous action or comedy, so it's a nice change of pace. So, but yeah, I give it a thumbs up, and, you know, I may watch it again sometime.
Yeah, we never did come up with a rating system for you, did we? We should probably figure that one out at some point in time. No. But all right, well there you go. So it looks like we're 1-1. You know, didn't enjoy the first movie we picked for him, but he liked this one. Tomorrow in Dan's drive-in, we'll have three more for you. I don't know if we're bringing back the two that continued to lose, but we'll see. We'll figure that all out for you tomorrow. And as you know, just you know, different ways to vote. You can vote on the Facebook page. You can the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio, or you can just email us sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. So yeah, look for your three movie picks for Dan's drive-in tomorrow, and we'll see how that works out. So.
Well, actually, tomorrow's Thursday. We were off a couple days. I don't know if you wanna drop that out now. We can get the 24 hours.
Wait, you broke up. I didn't hear you.
I said tomorrow's actually Thursday.
Yes.
We've been dropping the poll on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, we have, haven't we? Oh, good Lord! I see what happens when I miss a couple of days. I get confused. So yeah, I guess we have to drop that now. Did you? Are you prepared? I'm so unprepared for this. I really thought we were just doing it tomorrow. Are we bringing back our two that can't seem to win and adding a third, or what are we doing this week?
Well, you know, I just got the list from the intern about an hour ago, and he decided to pull Rookie of the Year off the list.
Thank God I
hate it. But, you know, the explanation I got was he wanted to give three different movies. Obviously, they're all different, but three sports. So he went with Remember the Titans, Glory Road, and Up Again for the third week in a row, The Rookie.
Well, these are actually three. I've seen all three of these movies, and they're actually all very good. It will be interesting to see how that played out. So, okay, so we ended up with, you know, I guess we call it our football movie is Remember the Titans. Our basketball movie is Glory Road. And then our baseball movie would be The Rookie. So there's your choices for Dan's drive-in. And again, get on the Facebook page. You can vote there, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. You can email us or just good old @sportstimeradio on Twitter. So get your choices out there. Figure out what Dan's going to watch this weekend, and we will let you know tomorrow who wins. And hopefully, if things go well, we'll get a review on Monday this week instead of Wednesday, depending on how my week goes. So there you go. I'm glad you reminded me. I was just out of control there. But, you know, a ton of baseball news here since the last time you and I have actually been, you know, able to get together about this. And apparently it's become official today. Dusty Baker is going to be the Astros manager. Interestingly, Dan, he got a one-year deal with an option. Are you looking at Dusty as just kind of being a fill-in till hopefully this blows over with this short of a deal, or what are you kind of looking at this as with him coming in?
You know, I was thinking about that one today because I know it was kind of talked about, you know, the other day, but I guess it's official today. You know, it's number one, it's interesting that a manager would get a one-on-one kind of deal. But
yeah.
I think this is Houston's way of, I don't know what you call it, throwing in the towel or waving the white flag, because I think they don't know what to do. So I honestly think that in their position, they were kind of scrambling to get, you know, not only a manager in there, but someone with experience, you know, experience obviously in the regular season and to the postseason. So I think it's more than likely he'll be back. and I hate to say it like this, but when you no longer have a system in place where you're allegedly tipping off all your hitters on, you know, what pitch is coming, if their success rate or batting average and all those numbers continue to go down, will there be a place for him next year, and will he be the blame, so to speak? I mean, you know, the one thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago was the fact that the alleged cheating season, one of the most overrated players that I feel like has been in the game in this, you know, this decade was Reddick. And oddly enough, he had the best batting average of his career set in 2017. So, you know, I don't know. I think Houston just, they had to make a move. They knew they had to make a move because you've got to get everything in place prior to spring training, which, you know, I'm not sure if it's next week or the following week. But, you know, we're coming up on spring training, so you needed a manager in there ASAP.
Yeah, it's two weeks, I believe.
Is that one pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. But, yeah, you know, Baker is a, you know, he's got a really good career resume. You know, he's been over 500 with all of the four teams he's managed. He's also taken each of those teams to the playoffs. His playoff record isn't as good as it that's actually sub 500 as his regular season record is. But, yeah, you know, the knock on him, of course, now, Dan, and what made it even more interesting that it was the Astros who chose him. You know, he's not a sabermetrics analytic guy, and yet that's what their team is kind of based on.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the comments I heard somebody earlier today. So, I mean, it kind of makes you wonder if he's not a sabermetrics guy. How is that going to work? And is that something they're trying to tell us? That despite all the metrics that they have, you still need an old, I don't know, the best way to, a better way to put it than the old X's and O's kind of coach?
Yeah, it is. You know, interesting to see how this kind of works out. Now, he hasn't managed since 2017. You know, that was his last year with the Nationals. You know, he's done some studio work, obviously, probably, you know, been involved more analytically wise than people know. And again, I don't think he has to fully embrace it and just be a complete, you know, over the moon type of analytic. What I'm interested about the hire, and this is a good comparison that I'm sure you're behind here. You know, when the Mets hired Luis Rojas, a lot of people believe that he's going to be that, as we've kind of described, managerial puppet, and they're going to give him the lineup. I don't think you could do that with a Dusty Baker, could you? He wouldn't accept a job like that, would he?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can see him being willing to work with them, but I think he'd be a guy that at the end of the day, this is the way it's going to be. But I also think, kind of going back to his last season with the Nationals, that Dusty should be a little bit more of a committee. You know, maybe you can go down and help him out, because I mean, I think you figured it out pretty quickly. Like, you know, hey, quit putting Bryce Harper I forget the lineup that he kept going with. It was Bryce Harper first and then Rendon, or Rendon and Harper. But I mean, you called it. Or I will never forget that Cubs series. You're like, what are they going to do? All they're going to do is just go after blah, blah, blah and walk Bryce Harper every single time. And what did they do? What did Joe Maddon do? He walked Bryce Harper, and it turned into either the double play or they got out of the inning four games in a row or three games in a row. And it wasn't until that last game that Dusty finally switched up the lineup a little bit.
So, yeah, obviously with the Astros, he'll have a little deeper lineup than he had with that Nationals team. So that should hopefully make things a little easier for him. But, yeah, he it looks like the rest of the coaches are staying, so he'll have the guys around there who know the lineup and understand the lineup. So that should be a help. The big talk, and it still is a little early to kind of jump up and down and start throwing out predictions, but do you think this team can win?
I mean, I think they still can. They've got the pitching. You know, mine is Garrett Cole, but, you know, they still have Verlander and Greinke. And then, you know, I can't think off the top of my head how you round off that rotation. I still think, despite the allegations, that you've got a great team going. But it is odd that, you know, the 17 MVP, was Altuve. And it's too coincidental. Of course, in my heart, I don't want to believe it. But at the same time, I'll never forget watching the ALCS and the World Series. You know, just like jaw dropped at the fact that, you know, it really seemed like Altuve knew what was coming to him. I didn't expect. You know, the home runs that he was hitting. I expected more of a guy, you know, with his stature, his size and all that, to be doing what a prototypical middle infielder would be doing, and that's getting on base and using his speed to get all the way around. And when he's taking, you know, the best pitchers in the game yard on the first pitch, it's just, you know, looking back on it, it's just very coincidental. I mean, I hope these guys perform at the high level that they were performing at.
Now, do you think, you know, because you've got to figure any win they get at home this year is going to be scrutinized no matter what. Do you think mentally that's going to wear on them? I mean, you're talking about, you know, 81 games at home. You know, even though it's clear they won't be doing any kind of sign stealing the way they did, you know, they'd be foolish to do that. Do you still think, because you know the media, Dan, after every win, there's going to be some jackass in the locker room asking them about it. Do you think eventually it gets to them and it's just too much to where maybe they don't make the playoffs?
You know, I don't think that's a possibility. You know, like we talked, I still think the Angels are, you know, with their situation, another year away from really making a press. They're only, and I hate to knock your team, the Mariners, but
hey.
I don't think they're making a playoff run. And despite what Texas has done, or is trying to do, I don't think either. So I really think, if anything, we're going to possibly a battle with the A's and the Astros, but, you know, I still think the Astros can take it to the top. You know, my concern, you know, is it getting, you know, will the reporting get to them? you know, you've got to wonder about the younger guys. I think if you're an Astros fan, you want to, if that's going to, you know, really mentally attack them. I think we're going to be looking at, you know, the Alex Bregman or Correa, some of the younger guys. I think Altuve is strong enough. I mean, like we discussed, Reddick's average has fallen back down to where he's been. So, you know, can he do any less than he does on an average list? You just hope he does more at the bat and continues to hold up his defense. But I think that's one of the advantages of having Dusty as the manager, is he's going to be able to handle that situation really well.
Yeah, and, you know, I wonder if that was part of the reason for bringing Dusty in, you know, because you've got a veteran guy with a lot of experience who's going to know how to deal with this.
Well, and I don't know what if he was in a controversial state with Bonds, you know, over in San Francisco, but I would think he would have had to have dealt with some of that then.
Well, you know, that, we got to remember, he had the finger pointed at him a lot for, you know, what they, you know, they accused him of ruining people's careers with the way, you know, he handled Terry Wood, Rob Nen, those type of guys. So he's dealt with some controversy, you know, through his career as a manager. You know, not to mention his son almost getting run over at home plate. Oh, wait, that was a different story there. So, you know. But then, you know, just to drop in a little fun story for baseball before we get to the next serious one on you here, it looks like we're going to get probably one more year from the Panda. Pablo Sandoval agreed to a minor league deal with the Giants with, of course, an invite to spring training. So, you know, we'll obviously he's not a full-time player anymore, you know, with Evan Longoria being the starting third baseman and everything, but, you know, he went back to San Francisco and, you know, he actually wasn't bad there, Dan. You know, he hit .268 with 14 homers, you know, played a little first, a little third, you know, solid little fill-in type of guy with a decent bat, so it'll be fun to have him around at least one more year, right?
Oh yeah. Do you think he's playing this year, or do you think he's on his route to retirement?
Well, you know, he's only 33, so I guess depending, it's kind of, you'd think how, you know, as long as he can continue to find somebody to hire him. You know, he can hit, he can probably play three more years, maybe, you know, with the right team, be it the Giants or maybe an American League team where he could do some DH-ing. But, you know, sadly for Pablo, he's only proven he can play well with the Giants. You know, that stint with the Red Sox was a fiasco. But you know, he's one, you know, one of the guys we obviously root for. Do you have a Panda hat? Did you ever get a Panda hat?
No. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Know I think I might have forgot, or I don't know what happened when I was in San Fran. That was a while ago.
That's okay. I never forgot to get the Kirk Cousins You Like This towel too. So, you know, that's okay. We're old. Things slip our minds. But all right. On to the next one after a quick little Panda talk. Locally here, Dan, I don't think either you or I or anybody was really surprised about this, but the arbitration panel ruled against Chris Bryant and his grievance today. As you know, Bryant filed the grievance claiming that the Cubs organization manipulated the timing of his initial promotion to the majors, which of course they did, but they didn't break any rules doing it, which is the basis of why he lost this arbitration hearing. So now the Cubs will have Bryant for that extra year, Dan. He he'll be a free agent, not after this year, but after next year. He came out today and said there's no ill will between him and the team. So two-pronged question, Dan. A, are you buying that statement? And B, is he in a Cub uniform come opening day, or do they end up dealing him?
No, he's in a Cub uniform opening day. I think it's highly possible that he's gone by the trading deadline, depending on the position that they're in. Because, well, you know, I'm sure Schomburg's due, and, you know, about 75% of the Cubs fans have already written him off because they think gathering up, you know, three, possibly four prospects is going to make the big difference.
And now, you know, I wasn't surprised at all he was ruled against. Are you? Were you?
No, and, you know, as you said, he had no ill will towards the team, and I think that's true. From what I read was that this was something that needed to be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't just him and his agent, more so the union. They needed this to happen so that it could be brought up in the next CBA.
You know, now this is something else I'm kind of baffled by, Dan. I'm looking at this. He hit .282 last year with 31 home runs. Now, he only drove in 77 RBIs. But you have to remember, he hit in the second spot most of the year. There's not a ton of RBI opportunities there. I don't care what any sabermetric jackleg says. It's proven if you look at the numbers. But now every time, and especially, you know, when I kind of go past what Chandler do, this is a down year. And for some reason, and I don't remember this, but Stu points out that he didn't come through in the clutch enough. I got to be honest with you, Dan. I don't remember any clutch in that from anybody from last year. How good is your memory, and was this really a down year? Because up to 282 and 31 from a guy, if that's a down year.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it's definitely a down year when it comes to RBIs, but that's not his fault with the stupid theory that batting second is like a second leadoff guy. By the way, things work out. So I don't think it was a down year at all. And, you know, one of the things that the sabermetrics people have pulled out and stated was the fact that clutch doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
So, you know, you got to kind of pick and choose where what you want to use, because, you know, they've already discounted a lot of things, but they've also discounted clutch players. And that, you know, that term really doesn't exist.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at his numbers, the only thing I'm really disappointed in is the fact that his strikeouts jumped back up to 145 after kind of progressively going down. You know, that's the only thing that really bothers me, but, you know, strikeouts are a big part of the game, and, I mean, you look at it, he scored over 100 runs. He had over 30 doubles to go with the 31 homers. I don't understand how this is a down year, and we're talking about a guy who bounced around between four positions. But
if anything's going to contribute to him being in a down year, so to speak, it's going to be the fact that Joe Maddon was so funny, and, you know, Chris Bryant would be on vacation when he was in right field. So I'm very glad that the theatrics will be gone out of the front, you know, the manager's office this year. And I really think the fact that David Ross coming in, I don't think we're going to have any of that crap. We're going to have a guy who doesn't necessarily know what he's doing, to the fact that he's never managed, and I don't want to say he doesn't know what he's doing, but I think he's just going to be focused on performance and not theatrics and trying to wow the while the media crowd, I was going to say the crowd, but I don't mean the fans, you know, because we both know that the manager doesn't really, the only cheers that he gets from the fans is when he gets kicked out of the game at a home, you know, at a home game. But I don't think we're going to get a lot of that, a lot of the theatrics out of David Ross when it comes to media stuff. So I think he's going to be focused. And, you know, with the strikeouts increase with Chris Bryant, you know, he did have some time off in the previous season, so that might have dropped those numbers. But sadly, with the swinging for the fences style that everyone's, you know, introduced into this decade or into this century or millennium, to me that says he's feeling better and he's taking more swings. Because, it's been a long time, but I would think that if you're still having some shoulder issues, you might not be swinging for the fences as much. So it might cause you to, you know, keep your eye on the ball a little bit more and stay focused. But I just think he's going to continue to get better, and it's either going to work out both ways for the Cubs. He's going to continue to get better by the All-Star break, and they might possibly move him for, I don't know what, that would help the team in the future. But, you know, I'm kind of backtracking. When you said about the ill will, like we said, that this was something that had to be done. The players' union wanted it to be done too, so that this is evidence as to why in the next CBA this needs to be rectified. Which, when you look at it, Big Jack, out of 183 games, you have to be in 172 for it to be full time. And I mean, all around, when you look at this, is probably one of the dumbest rules that they have. So, I mean, hopefully it gets fixed. I think it will get fixed. But in Theo's defense, Theo's never done anything against the rules, and he's always played everything within the rules, despite what anyone might think him being, you know, playing a little dirty with the rules.
Yeah, no, you know, again, and, you know, we played a million times, you know, the Cubs didn't do anything wrong.
No.
You know, it was crappy what they did, but they didn't do anything wrong. Just like last year, the Blue Jays didn't do anything wrong with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You know, he stayed down for a couple weeks, and then he was brought up. It's, you know, when you're talking about keeping that player for an extra year, those couple weeks are a small price to pay. You know, so again, the union agreed to this. Everybody's looking at it like baseball ran them over or something and they forced them to agree to this rule. And, you know, that's how it – no, the union's got to agree to this. So you could put it on them, you know, as much, you know, and I get it. You want to point the finger at the owners because they're evil and, you know, they're the guys who make all the money. I get it. That's how it goes. But yeah, if I'm in the union going, what the hell did you guys do to us?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, let's be honest though, with that rule, I think that would be one of the things the owners wouldn't even look at. Like, what does this mean? Yeah, whatever. They just, you know what I mean? I don't even think this is on their radar. It's definitely a front office thing. You know, this is one of those things that I would think anybody working in the front office would have been like, hey, we need to put this in here real quick.
Yeah, whoever got it by deserves a raise, you know, if they're still around, because that's, I don't know how the hell that happened, so... we'll see how that works out. But yeah, that's definitely going to be one of the first things that gets changed, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the only reason I think he would question maybe staying in Chicago is because of that. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it without any other better words, but that BS 10-year, $100 million deal.
I guess that may be the other way to look at it. You know, maybe there's no ill will between Chris Bryant and the Cubs, but is there ill will between his agent, Scott Boris, and the Cubs after all this?
Yeah. Well, and you've got to wonder, too, if – forget the contract, but let's just say he's not there at the end of this season, and we get someone new and flashy in, or Jed actually takes the job over and, you know, finally becomes president. Or, I'm sorry, actually finally starts, you know, making the deals, kind of like Rick Hahn. You know, would that change things? Would he present a better deal? Because, I mean, I don't – you know, Theo's been so quick to just kind of point the finger at the Ricketts and say, oh, well, they're not letting us spend any more money. Well, I mean, let's be honest. When it comes to the free agent signings, the only one that really hit for Theo was John Lester.
Yeah.
Everything else he's done.
Yeah, so far.
You know, that's the only one that's hit. And then the smartest guy in the room picks that, you know, he's been doing over the last couple of weeks. You know, I hear Cubs fans in my office, you know, talking about it. And they're not overly excited. They're not overly, you know, hugely disappointed. But at the same time, all the moves they made, I don't think are going to shore up anything and really improve the team.
So you weren't excited that they signed your guy, Souza Jr.?
No. I mean, how many games is he going to play? 47? 68? We're lucky?
They may not need a whole lot of money, hopefully. So.
Yeah. You know, I would have loved for that kid to really take off, but he's at the end of his career.
All right, well, let's stay in the NL Central here because we had another one of the remaining bigger-name free agents. And, yeah, he was technically a former Cub, even though he spent about half a season there. Nicholas Castellanos gets a four-year deal from the Reds. You know, I heard a lot of – talk about they were the front runner, and I'm not sure how much sense this signing made for them because they appear to have a glut of outfielders now. You know, they signed the Japanese free agent Shogo Akiyama. They got the kid who broke out last year and seemed to hit homers every time he came up, that Arusti's Aquino. You know, Nick Senzel came in and filled in center field, you know, in his, you know, last year as a rookie. He's coming back from shoulder surgery, but he'll be ready by spring training. And, you know, then they've talked about Jesse Winker for years as, you know, a guy they were looking to play every day. And he was allegedly the reason they moved Billy Hamilton or, you know, let Billy Hamilton go. You know, now, you know, they also have Josh Van Meter, who I believe played some outfield last year. You know, all of a sudden it looks like they've got more outfielders than they know what to do with. And no, I'm not counting Michael Lorenzen as an outfielder because he's technically a relief pitcher, but you never know. You know, first things first, do you think they're serious about making a Francisco Lindor deal? And that's why they did this, because the Indians kind of insisted on Senzel in any type of Lindor deal. So do you see that happening, or do you just think they thought they got too good a value with Castellanos to let him go? You know, and I may have lost Dan. He may have to go on his little break. But, you know, that's, you know, kind of a, you know, an interesting spot here with the Reds, because you're looking at it, I mean, their lineup is pretty formidable. It looks like they're going to have Akiyama lead off. He'll be followed by Votto, Castellanos, Moustakis, Aquino. Then it's Van Meter. Freddie Galvis is the shortstop right now. Van Meter's penciled in to play second. And Tucker Barnhart, along with Kurt Casilli and Kyle Farmer, will figure out the catching there. Now, with the exception of last year, Senzel was a second baseman coming up through the minor league system. So you wonder, as long as he's healthy, you know, if maybe he'll plug in there. But then Moustakas is supposed to play second, because I just realized I didn't say Eugenio Suarez, because he got hurt and had to undergo a shoulder surgery. I don't believe he's going to miss any actual time, game time. He just may be a little late to spring training. So I don't know. There is a reporter that said Suarez could be on the injured list to open the season. I don't think it's gonna go that far. But, you know, looking at some of the other outfielders I didn't even name, you know, they have Phil Irvin, who's been a bench player for them. They picked up Travis Jankowski, and then they took Mark Payton with the Rule 5 rule, you know, or with a Rule 5 pick. My guess is Payton is gone, because he would have to stay on the Major League roster all year, and I don't see that happening. But, yeah, I don't quite know what the plan is here, or how they're going to try to, you know, try to shake this out. They also have some well-rated outfielders that aren't too far away from, you know, possibly being major league ready. So it's, you know, of course, if they do go for a Lindor deal, you know, it's possible a couple of them would have to go. There were some rumors a little later about a three-team trade that would actually bring the Reds' Corey Seager, with Lindor going to the Dodgers and then the Indians stacking up on prospects. So I don't know, you know, if or how we'll see a deal like that. But yeah, I mean, looking at it, you know, I mean, the way their opening day roster breaks down, their, you know, six outfielders deep. And I don't know if, you know, if that's, you know, most teams carry five, you know, and one of them is normally a utility guy. I'm a little curious. I mean, obviously, it looks like it's going to be a very formidable batting order with, you know, I mean, you're looking at Suarez, Castellanos, and Moustakas, 3, 4, 5, in a really good, and I mean really good, hitter's ballpark for 81 games. You know, they could rack up some big numbers. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Castellanos get the 30 home runs for what I believe, I want to double check this, but I believe that would be the first time in his career, playing in Cincinnati like that. Yeah, his career high was last year when he hit 27 combined with the Cubs and the Tigers. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see his number just bounce to 30 like that. But yeah, you're only putting 9 guys on the field, and you're going to have to find consistent at bats for these guys. I just don't know if it's, you know, is it too many guys for one spot? You know, like the basketball analogy has always been, there's only one ball. You know, the baseball analogy would be there's only 3 outfield positions. They don't have the DH yet in the National League. I know it's coming, but it's not here yet. So I don't know. Dan, do they have too many outfielders?
If you could play the outfield, you could play shortstop, right?
No, it's the other way around.
I thought it worked both ways. Think they do. You've got to wonder if they're looking to make a trade. How old is Castellanos? He's only 28, right?
Yeah. Well, he's not even 28. He's going to turn 28 soon.
Oh, okay. Because at first I was thinking, you know, 4 years was pushing it. Now is that 3 with the option or 4 full?
No, it's 4 full with a whole bunch of deferred money.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
So
that makes it much easier for the Reds. And, you know, the only downside for the Reds in that situation, I guess it's not even a downside because, well, let's just say in 2 years they need to move him. It will definitely make him attractive to any team because they're going to be the ones that have to pick up all the deferred money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I didn't even look at it. I just was kind of going back and forth. And, you know, if, like you said, if he does hit 30 home runs and has a better service in Cincinnati, I'm going to start throwing out there, yeah, but he played in Cincinnati. You know, kind of like, oh, but he played in Colorado. So, I know, bad joke, but no, I think it's a good move for them. But like you said, one too many outfielders, so you got to wonder who are they possibly looking to move once they get a look at these guys in spring training? Because obviously he's getting the starting job.
Yeah. And right. Well, you know, like I was saying while you were on break, you know, they've been in talks for quite a while with Cleveland about acquiring Francisco Lindor. And the Indians have more or less insisted that Nick Senzel is a part of that deal. So that would relieve, you know, a little bit of the outfield if they made that kind of trade. So, you know, I'm wondering if maybe that's closer than people think with this signing.
That's not a bad exchange. And I mean, it would be one of those trades that would be positive for both sides of Ohio.
And of course, I'm sure you probably expected this, but as soon as this signing happened, I received an email on how the Reds will now finish in front of the Cubs. That happened very quickly. This signing automatically vaulted them in front of the Cubs. So we shall see how that works out, but. You know, just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, well, you know, and if you're following and reading the local stuff, NBC Sports, a little bit more of than the other, you have to throw in former Cub. Because, you know, when a guy that was a Cub leaves that, you know, produced for half a season, you got to rub it in and make everyone feel bad. But... I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the Reds fare next season. I still think they need a pitcher. They got three good ones, but still think they need a really strong ace.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody is convinced that this Luis Castillo is going to be an ace. And, you know, if he is, you know, then they're all set because, you know, you're looking at – Sonny Gray, Trevor Bauer, Wade Miley. I know Anthony DeSclafani is huge, but as a number five, you know, you could live with that. And they did acquire Jose De Leon, who was a huge prospect, you know, in the Rays organization who just can't stay healthy. You know, maybe if he's healthy, he slots into that number five. So, you know, it's going to be – interesting to watch. I mean, they look like they're a team that's going to score a bunch of runs, but remember, Bauer wasn't very good for them after they acquired him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got to bounce back. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about a team that was 12 games under 500. That's a big, big jump for to go from 12 games under 500 to winning a division. So, you know, I get that they look like they're going to be improved, you know, or they should be, depending on how everything works out. But, you know, this is a competitive division where teams are really equal. And, you know, none of the teams in front of the Reds have done much. The Cubs haven't done it. The Brewers and the Cubs have basically done the same thing. And the Cardinals really haven't done anything.
I don't think they need to.
Well, you know, they did just lose Marcelo Zuna, so they could probably use a hitter.
Yeah.
You know, which will, you know, which will lead me to my next point when we get there, because I'm still pouting that this guy is a free agent. But I, you know, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, like, I think they'll be better, but I don't see them winning the Central. You?
No, I don't. I mean, even with the loss of Ozuna, which I don't think he played as big a factor with the organization as I thought he was going to. I don't know what it was with the three of them down in Miami, but they were monsters. And then it just seemed like they separately could not perform at the high level. But, you know,
well,
the Milwaukee, he's doing
Yelich
pretty well. Yeah. I'm going to say he's been doing really well. But, you know, I still think they're going to be competitive. They always find a way to kind of stick it in there and just really get on your nerves if you're not a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, and, you know, while we go to the Cardinals, you know, their outfield right now looks like Tommy Edman
right
in left, Harrison Bader in center, and your guy Dexter Fowler in right field. Their bench guys are Tyler O'Neill and Lane Thomas. So they're really young in the outfield. And, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe they could use that bat to not only fill in but for Ozuna, but to get Fowler out of right field. What about Yasiel Puig in a Cardinal uniform, Dan, since he's still hanging around and nobody wants to sign him for whatever reason?
I, you know, as a Cub fan of me, no, hell no, we don't want to see that. But, no, I think that would be a solid move for them. You've got to wonder, as we get closer to the player, you know, the hitters reporting, does that drop the value of any kind of signing he can make?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm starting to wonder what the problem is here with this. You know, I get it. He's a bit of a wild card, as they would say, but there's too much talent there for this guy not to be on somebody's roster when spring training opens. You know,
yeah.
It's just kind of stupid to me that he's still out there.
Well, and, you know, and the saddest part is the biggest controversy with this kid is the fact that, you know, he was smuggled into the country, and he, which I'm, you know, another one of those things that Major League Baseball, I think, just turned their head, kind of like the whole steroid era, but we won't get into that. You know, that's been his biggest issue, was that his life was being threatened by the smugglers or the human traffickers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from that, I mean, this kid was coming here to, you know, live a better life and, you know, hasn't really done anything except for lick a bat and, you know, piss off Zach Greinke. And maybe Dave Roberts a little bit, but.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, you know, and I know, you know, he's gotten into some scuffles. I get it, you know, that happens.
Yeah, but this is
the same guy who,
but like you mentioned before, this is the same guy who was at the major league level performing and then wasn't up to par. He got dropped down to the minors, and instead of sulking and pulling a Tommy LaStella, I want to quit if I don't get pulled back to the majors, what does he do? He goes out and has a good time and treats that minor league team to dinner and party. You know what I mean? This is not a guy who's a total jerk.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, because, you know, I think it'd be great if he could land with a contender like St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still think Miami is completely stupid for not bringing this guy in. But, oh, good Lord, look at that. We're on the time already, Dan. Holy cow. All right, well, we'll take it off. We'll get to tomorrow at 5:30. Don't forget to get your roll in the game strategy. We just need to get to the game. Remember the type of long road of the rookie beautiful. So get off the end of the road. So what else we got going on tomorrow? We'll get to tomorrow at 5:30. You need to see it. Get over to the same radio.com. Get off the long. Put on the link to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed if you have more fun radio. Thank you for doing that. Hey, you can throw whatever you want.